Now verse 18. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, and the word should be tested. He was tested, not just for 40 days. That was the testing, of course, in a particular way. But his entire life was a testing, my friend. Being tested, he's able to succor them or help them that are tested. Now, I want you to follow me very carefully, because right here is where some of you are going to disagree with me. And that'll be all right. If you want to be wrong, that's your business. But will you listen to me? I'm going to be rather dogmatic here. The question is asked, in the testing that was given to Jesus, could he have succumbed to it? Could he have fallen? And the answer is no. Now, there's something very important for us to note here, and will you follow me now very carefully? We speak of being tempted to do a wrong, when what actually you and I mean is that we had the opportunity to do wrong, and we wanted to do it. Now, the opportunity was the testing, but the desire to do wrong was sin. And a sinful desire is itself sin. Therefore, he never had that sinful desire. He was not a sinner. Well, he sure had the opportunity, and that's where Satan began with him at that point. He said to him, why don't you make these rocks here into bread? There are a lot of hungry people in the world. Why don't you turn the rocks? And if you've ever been to that land, friends, there are a whole lot of rocks there. It almost makes you smile and, in fact, laugh when you think of how ridiculous it was for that false rumor to get around that they were shipping Indiana marble over there to build a temple. Now, if you've been to that land, you find out they just don't need any more rocks. They got plenty of them. In fact, they would appreciate it if Indiana would order some rocks from them, because they could spare them and still have plenty to build a temple. So that was the temptation. He could have made stones into bread, but he didn't. That was the test. His test was greater than mine, because I want you to know this. If I could make stones into bread, I'd be in the bakery business. I'd make up a whole lot of bread. He could have, but he didn't. He had the opportunity, and that's the test that came, but he didn't yield to it. But he never desired to yield to the test, and he could not so desire for the very fact that he was God. And again, I ask the question, could Jesus have sinned? And the answer is no, he could not. Now, somebody's going to come back, well, then what was the purpose of the testing? And therefore, he could not be tempted. Well, may I say to you, if you want to put it like that, then should pure gold be tested? Up here in the gold mining country of California, they had an assayist at every one of those mines. You know why? They tested the gold. And if you had stopped the man that was testing it and said, well, you don't think that's pure gold? He says, of course it's pure gold. But we test it to prove that is pure gold. And therefore, he was tested. I think I can give you a better illustration than that. When I was a boy, I lived in West Texas on the east fork of the Brazos River. Now, in the summertime, there wasn't enough water in that river to rust a shingle nail. But in the wintertime, you could have floated a battleship down there. And so we had a flood one winter, and the Santa Fe went through our little town there. And by the way, the little town's disappeared now. And it went across the Brazos. And when we had a flood, it washed out the railroad bridge. It was a wooden bridge. And so they came in and put a steel bridge in. And then they brought two engines and put them on top of that bridge, and they tied down the whistles. Well, in our little town, we, you know, never heard two whistles at one time. So we all rushed down to the bridge. In fact, all 27 of us. We went down, and one of the extroverts in our little town asked the engineer, I says, what are you doing? He said, we're testing the bridge. And he said, do you think it'll fall down? And with a sneer, Well, he said, of course it won't fall down. Well, then why are you putting an engine? We're putting the engines on there to prove that it won't fall down. Jesus was tested to prove that he was who he claimed to be. That's very important, you see. Actually, if Jesus of Nazareth had sinned, that would not have proved that God in the flesh could sin. It wouldn't have proved that. It would have proved that Jesus of Nazareth was not God in the flesh. The testing proved he's God in the flesh. He cannot sin. I hope that I made that point, though you may not agree with it. But that just happens to be the facts as they're presented in the Word of God. And he was tested, we're told here, in all points. Now will you notice, for in that he himself hath suffered, being tested, he's able to help them that are tested. Now I only got one verse in today, but this verse is very important because that's the subject of this epistle when we get now to the fifth chapter. From then on, we're going to be talking about the priesthood, the high priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's able to help those that are tested. And if there's one thing that we hope we can bring out in this epistle, and that is to make you and me very conscious that you and I have a high priest. He's alive right this moment. He's at God's right hand. And best of all, he's available. He's there. When I wake up in the dark watches of the night and toss and turn, as I sometimes do with some burden on my heart, I can look up and my great high priest, he's up there. He knows me and he understands, and I can take my burden to him. May I say to you that no matter what comes, when that dark moment comes, you and I go down through the valley of the shadow of death, we got a great high priest up yonder, and he's able to help those that are tested. He's able to help us today. I'm afraid that we're not using him as much as we should. We forget about him, and we try to fight the battle alone. He's available. He wants you to come to him.